Good day, everyone, and welcome to the Pacific Edge Limited Financial Results Conference Call. Today's call is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. David Darling. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning. Welcome, everybody, and thanks for joining us on the call. With me on the call today, we have Kate Rankin, our CFO, Simon Wilson, our VP of Investor Relations, Chris Gallagher, our Chairman of the Board of Directors, and Sarah Park, the Chairman of the Audit Committee. I'd like to start with a quick recap of Pacific Edge and what we're seeking to achieve. Our Cxbladder tests are the first new diagnostics for urothelial cancer to enter the market in 17 years, and we're the only company in the world to have four molecular diagnostic tests which span the bladder cancer clinical pathway. The clinical evidence behind our test is compelling. New publications, commercial lookbacks, and clinical studies consistently and repeatedly define the outperformance of Cxbladder compared to other tests used every day in the clinic, including the gold standard cystoscopy. This evidence supports Cxbladder's additional clinical utility, its patient benefits, and its ability to reduce healthcare costs. So the big elephant in the room, if it's so great and the clinical evidence is all stacked up behind it, why has adoption not been faster? Well, since Cxbladder is a medical device and the barriers to acceptance are very high, coupled with this, we're seeking to change decades of clinical behavior, and this is not an easy thing, particularly in the USA where they have the added challenges around medical liability and where their whole healthcare and reimbursement system is extremely complex. The pleasing thing is we're now seeing growing momentum in the acceptance and the adoption of our tests. New Zealand is leading the way globally. We have a number of very big healthcare organizations and leading urologists observing its uptake here very closely. They're looking to emulate the successful clinical changes being made in this country. These New Zealand public healthcare providers have now been using the tests for a significant period of time and have adopted Cxbladder commercially, enabling them to publish look-back evaluations. Canterbury DHB presented their look-back last year with outstanding results, and Counties Manukau has just released initial results from their use of Cxbladder. Both of these are overwhelmingly in favour of our tests and provide the evidence to support these customers' initial decisions to adopt and use the technology at a commercial scale. While we're focused on urothelial cancer for now, remember that we also have a significant future pipeline with identified biomarkers and intellectual property supporting new product development and other cancers. After we have our bladder cancer tests earning significant revenue, it will be then time to turn our attention to bringing other tests to market. Our Cxbladder tests in the market today are the result of years of research and evidence generation, which has allowed us to identify five RNA biomarkers that are associated with urothelial cancer and to build four world-class tests for the detection and management of this cancer. Our complex algorithms are built on this knowledge to effectively rule out or detect the presence of bladder cancer from a single sample of a patient's urine. Cxbladder can be used across the bladder cancer pathway from the investigation of hematuria, or blood in the urine, to detection of cancer and the management of patients for recurrence of the disease. Our tests are non-invasive, simple to use, more accurate, and enable better use of healthcare funds and resources. We have a global first-mover advantage in urothelial cancer. The opportunity for our company is significant, with an addressable market size in the USA alone of up to $1.2 billion for Cxbladder. The US is the largest healthcare market, and with 5 million potential test opportunities each year, it remains our primary focus. We have also identified opportunities in Southeast Asia and Australia, and of course in New Zealand, where the opportunity is now being realised. So what was FY19 like for Pacific Edge? Well, we've learned to be patient. We can control very few things in this medical technology commercialization process. However, we have had a strong year with a number of very important positive outcomes. Commercial sales and billable test volumes grew with an accelerated momentum in Q4, primarily driven by the growing adoption by New Zealand's public healthcare providers. We achieved two of the three milestones for US-wide reimbursement, being national product-specific codes for Cxbladder Detect and Monitor, as well as a national price for our tests of US$760 per test. Our portfolio of clinical evidence has evolved and grown, and we've been added to national guidelines in New Zealand. And financially, we have reported an improvement in net operating cash outflow and net loss. We've also completed a successful $12 million capital raise, providing us with the resources to continue on our strategic pathway. And we'd like to thank shareholders for their support for this. However, we didn't achieve all the goals we set for ourselves, such as attaining the inclusion in the LCD for the CMS reimbursement. However, we're working hard to get these completed as soon as possible. Laboratory throughput is the cornerstone measure of the growth of our business and includes the tests from both user programs and commercial sales. Pleasingly, we continue to lift our total test volumes, and the percentage of those that are billable remains at around 81%. Approximately 50% of the US lab throughput is for patients who are covered under the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, or the CMS. Whilst we're obligated to carry out these tests and invoice the CMS, currently we're not yet able to receive payment. Once we receive our inclusion in the LCD, we will be able to receive reimbursement, and we will seek payment for the many tests invoiced to the CMS for their patients. As at the 31st of March 2019, this number totals 17,015 tests. You can do the maths on that opportunity. We had forecast a range for FY19 of between 16,000 and 17,000 tests, and we achieved 98% of the lower bound of this estimate and 95% of the midpoint of that range estimate. It is very challenging to predict the adoption of tests across the financial year. However, as we get more institutional accounts up and running, the variance is expected to diminish. It was a very strong outcome. The US remains the biggest market with 80% of throughput compared to 20% in the rest of the world markets, which have grown 83% year on year. Test usage in the respective markets depends on the length of time a specific sex bladder product has been available and a specific clinical issue that the urologist or the institute is interested in solving. We have a rollout strategy where new tests are first launched in New Zealand before being progressively rolled out in the USA and other markets. This can sometimes take many months before broad coverage is achieved. We have a fine balance between achieving growth and managing our US operating costs. Growth rates in the US were less than planned as we downsized to 15 sales representatives to manage our cash more effectively. Momentum is growing, and we've seen accelerated growth in lab throughput, particularly in the last quarter of FY19. Test volumes are well up on the same quarter last year, and the positive trends seen in Q3 to Q4 have continued into the start of this financial year. This increase in commercial test demand is mainly driven by the public healthcare providers in New Zealand as more of them adopt Cxbladder at scale. So, New Zealand is a great example of what our tests can achieve in terms of better patient care, better outcomes, and better use of limited healthcare resources. Three new DHBs added Cxbladder into their standard of care and grew their commercial use in FY19, and the majority of New Zealand's national healthcare providers are now under contract. In some of these, Cxbladder has been added into the clinical guidelines, replacing the gold standard cystoscopy in both the evaluation of hematuria, or blood in the urine, and the monitoring for recurrence. More than 3 million people, or over 60% of New Zealand's population, are currently covered under contract. We're expecting the remaining DHBs in New Zealand to come on board in the future. Discussions are currently taking place between Auckland's multiple DHBs as to how they can best use Cxbladder to meet their needs. Demand and commercial sales are exceeding our expectations, and based on current sales and projections, we expect the New Zealand business to reach a cash flow positive position in FY20. While small in terms of test numbers relative to the US, the adoption by the majority of New Zealand national healthcare providers and the compelling look-back studies they have completed are a significant step in terms of global credibility, and they underpin and foretell the delivery of this business, particularly in the US. The actions being taken here and their demonstrable benefits are being watched carefully by large healthcare institutions and leading urologists around the world, and are another step towards gaining wider adoption for Cxbladder. The second standout for our performance in FY19 was gaining two of the three reimbursement milestones in the USA. All three are required to fully enable reimbursement from both private and public, or CMS, payers. The first was the receipt of product-specific CPT codes for Cxbladder Detect and Cxbladder Monitor in March of 2018. And the second was the notification of a national price for our Cxbladder tests of $760 per test in October of 2018. The receipt of national product-specific codes was a big milestone, as these are only issued for tests that have entered the mainstream and where the volumes of tests used by physicians has been shown to be indicative of significant adoption. The panel of experts at the American Medical Association looks at the clinical evidence, the volumes of tests used annually, and on the basis of their review, CPT codes were issued in 2018 for two of our Cxbladder products. Currently, Cxbladder Detect accounts for the majority of US sales, with Monitor following behind. A CPT code for Cxbladder Triage is expected to follow as adoption of Cxbladder Triage grows in the US. The successful achievement of these reimbursement milestones has allowed us to initiate negotiations for contract terms with private payers. On successful completion, these will enable a shortening of the overall commercial transaction time and a positive reduction in the time to receipt of cash. The introduction of national product-specific CPT codes from 1 January 2019 has already started to have a positive impact on cash collection rates in Q4 19, and this trend is expected to continue in FY20. It's early days for our reimbursement team engaging with the private payers in the US and utilizing both CPT codes and national pricing. However, this is expected to grow in FY20. Good progress is being made with the process to obtain local coverage determination, which will enable reimbursement for patients covered under the CMS. While we're still below the industry average of 5 years, attaining the LCD is taking longer than we initially anticipated. It's all about clinical evidence. The publication of peer-reviewed clinical papers is a critical part of the adoption of tests, achieving favorable reimbursement decisions, and ultimately inclusion in the US guidelines. The recent publication in the prestigious European Urology Journal will help us achieve these key objectives. You can see here the progress we have made in this last year on the many fronts that move our business forward. We are now growing our commercial base in all our target markets, and particularly in New Zealand, our home market, where we are building scale into our commercial business. Across all of our target markets, we are growing our focus on large institutional healthcare organizations. We've seen the impact our technology makes on these large healthcare providers who have burgeoning patient needs, few resources, aging populations, and a need to show value changes for their clinical services. While these institutional customers can take longer to bring to completion, once commercial agreement is reached, they provide significant volume, require lower sales maintenance, and deliver more sustainable long-term growth opportunities with shorter cash conversion cycles. All good news. In line with this, we have refocused our US sales team and added more resources for these institutions while continuing to maintain relationships with existing large practice urologists. We are in ongoing commercial negotiations and startup processes with multiple targeted institutional customers in the US, including Johns Hopkins Medicine, which commenced the commercial evaluation of Cxbladder during the year. In Southeast Asia, we have user programs underway with the five largest hospitals in Singapore. These are nearing completion, and our focus is on transitioning these hospitals to commercial customers and growing the adoption of Cxbladder by other large healthcare organizations in the regions. We've started our commercial sales with the Raffles Medical Group and are building acceptance and experience with the use of Cxbladder in the Asian population. In Australia, we have recently taken over the sales and distribution of Cxbladder and are adopting the tactics used in New Zealand. Australia has many similarities to New Zealand, and we are referencing our success with New Zealand's healthcare, national healthcare providers to gain trial and adoption. Our New Zealand sales manager has recently relocated to Queensland, and we're currently working with a large number of institutional customers, primarily in the eastern states of Australia. I'll now pass over to our CFO, Kate Rankin, to talk you through the financial results for the year.
Thank you, Dave. The US reinvestment process is very complex, with many integrated negotiations for coverage and price. Many of these processes have now been completed, and the local coverage determination for the CMS is the final key to building our cash revenue quickly. In the US, the lion's share of our revenue is being generated from sales to individual patients under the direction of their physician. Under this business-to-consumer relationship, the patients retain the liability for paying for the tests. However, their insurer may pay some or all of the cost of the test, depending on their level of cover. The patient is then responsible for paying any outstanding amount, and as a result, the receipt of cash can take anywhere from 1 to 24 months, with the bulk of the cash receipts coming over 7 to 12 months after the time of the sale. Agreements with private insurers and large healthcare institutions and inclusion in the LCD will improve the payment timing and the terms. The CMS is seen by private insurers as a scale healthcare payer in the market, and tactically, many of the negotiations with private insurers are nearly always done following inclusion under the CMS coverage. A reminder that we only recognise the revenue for US customers when the cash payment is received. Operating revenue from test sales was up 12% year on year to $3.8 million, with total revenue for the period of $5.1 million. Total operating expenditure reduced from $23 million for the year, a 7% decrease on the prior year. We reported a net loss of $17.9 million for the year, an improvement of 9% on FY18. Our focus on disciplined cash management saw net operating cash flow reduce from $18.1 million to $17.5 million for the year, a 3% decrease on FY18. Cash receipts from customers increased 9% year-on-year to $3.7 million, with a large portion of the cash received in FY19 being for tests sold in FY18 or earlier. US payment terms currently average between 7 to 12 months from completion of the test to payment by the relevant US payer or insurer. However, the introduction of the National Product-Specific CPT Codes for Seats Better Detect and Seats Better Monitor in the USA from 1 January 2019 has had a positive impact on cash collection rates in Q4 19. This positive trend is expected to continue in the first half of FY20. New Zealand's performance, particularly in Q4 FY19, has been beyond our expectations, and we expect this business to reach a cash flow positive position in FY20 and onwards. I'll now pass back to Dave to talk about the outlook for this year.
Thanks, Kate. As outlined, many of the foundations for commercial success have now been completed, and the adoption of Cxbet and commercial sales are increasing. We appreciate that our investors are looking for immediate and rampant revenue growth. This is expected to come as we complete these last few objectives in the USA and we build out our penetration of our markets. We remain focused on further accelerating the adoption of Cxbet by large healthcare organisations in New Zealand and internationally. We have a number of key objectives for FY20, which will help us achieve our goals of growing our global reach, building and strengthening our customer base, and increasing sales and adoption, all of which will drive greater cash revenue. We've identified opportunities for growth in all our targeted markets, and we'll be directing our resources towards achieving these. The USA remains our primary commercial focus, with an estimated market opportunity for our Cxbladder products of around $1.2 billion, as verified by EY Parthenon in 2018. More than 7 million people present with hematuria every year, and many of these will need further testing for Cxbladder. 81,000 new cases of bladder cancer are diagnosed annually, and those patients will have to undergo a long-term regime of continual monitoring for recurrence of the disease. Our tests can be used by physicians at the main stages in the clinical pathway to provide less invasive testing for patients, increased accuracy of diagnosis, and better utilisation of healthcare resources. The use of Cxbladder in New Zealand by the large public healthcare providers is the key to understanding our progress up to FY19 and the route forward in the US. As you all know, clinical evidence is the trading currency of medtech products. It provides a hurdle for strong adoption and drives positive reimbursement decisions. Accordingly, published peer-reviewed clinical papers for clinical relevance, validation of performance, and clinical utility are all key elements of our market entry and our product adoption. The burden of proof for successful commercial adoption of medical devices is extensive. It's time-consuming and expensive. However, everyone must travel these paths, and there are no shortcuts. We have generated in excess of 10 years of accumulated evidence showing the outperformance of Cxbladder. This has been a significant and time-consuming investment for the company over many years, and we are now seeing the fruits of this investment and reimbursement milestones in the USA, the increasing adoption in all our markets, and now in New Zealand with our strong commercial growth. We have a growing list of compelling clinical evidence published in top-tier international journals. This published evidence is the key ingredient in driving widespread reimbursement and adoption of Cxbladder with customers globally. With growing adoption will come inclusion into more international clinical guidelines, similar to what we've just seen in New Zealand, underpinning the expected growth in revenue for the company. The most recent clinical publication has been this month in European Urology, the number one ranked urology journal with a reading audience in excess of 20,000 medical professionals globally. This paper further extends Cxbladder's clinical utility through its ability to remove this well-recognized diagnostic dilemma that are faced by physicians and patients when existing gold standard tests and procedures are not able to determine a clear diagnostic outcome. It means a go-round for the patient. In simple terms, Cxbladder delivered 100% accuracy in adjudicating all patients with urothelial cancer from amongst those with atypical and equivocal diagnostic results. This enabled physicians to resolve this diagnostic dilemma without the inconvenience and added cost of re-evaluating the patient in the clinic. Cxbladder also significantly outperformed cytology for accurately identifying patients who do not have UC. This real-world outcome positions Cxbladder for consideration for inclusion in international guidelines, which in turn will fuel broader acceptance and adoption by physicians. Over the years, Pacific Edge has been constantly treading new ground. Our tests are disruptive to conventional clinical pathways, and as we have learned, the adoption and process in the US can be time-consuming and require substantial resource. We're seeing accelerating momentum and commercial sales from new and existing customers and expect this to continue. Demand from public healthcare providers in New Zealand is expected to grow strongly and positively impact on laboratory test volumes, and the New Zealand business is expected to be cash flow positive in FY20. That will be a great milestone. Cash investment in our company is always one of our key focal points, and while we're still losing more cash than we make, we have held the US sales force at a lower level than planned to conserve our cash while we complete the CMS and LCD. FY20 total operating expenses are expected to remain in line with FY19. Cxbladder test demand by US physicians is expected to be positively impacted in FY20 from having national product-specific CPT codes for Cxbladder and a national CMS reimbursement price in place. Our compelling dossier of clinical evidence, which is being published in top-tier international journals, is expected to facilitate positive reimbursement decisions by both private and public payers in FY20. The benefits and the value of our Cxbladder tests are becoming widely established, and the opportunities for our company are huge. We're making positive commercial progress, and we will continue to work hard to attain our goals and realize our potential. Thank you for your time and listening to our presentation. I'll now pass back to the operator to manage any questions that you may have.
Thank you. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. If you're calling from a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is off to ensure your signal can reach our equipment. Again, star one to ask a question. We'll go first to Chelsea Ledbetter from Forsyth Barr. Your line is open.
Thanks, Ben. Morning, team. I guess it's just a couple of questions for me for now. If I can start with the contingent asset of $7.2 million on noted in the statement notes. Maybe Kate, if you can give us a bit of an understanding on maybe the age of some of those tests and perhaps how we should think about the profile for getting some of that cash through the door?
Hi, Chelsea. Thanks for your question. Look, the contingent asset is based upon some conservative estimates of what we expect based on the trends that we're seeing, the payment timeframes, the number of tests that are going through the system, and the different insurers and how they're currently paying for the tests. So it's a real mixture of assumptions that underlie that underpin that number. And we'll see how that comes to fruition as we continue to receive cash receipts and make progress. And as Dave said earlier, the CPT codes are already having a positive impact, so that's also having a good impact on the private insurers as well. So I hope that helps.
So, I mean, I guess just to tease that out a little bit, would I expect some of that or at least a majority of that to come through next year, or could it even take longer than that? I guess I'm just trying to understand how to reconcile that number.
Yes, sure. I know what you're trying to do. Look, as we said, you know, cash receipts can take from anywhere from 1 to 24 months, so that could take longer. We expect to see some of it this year. Some of it will flow into next year, but as to how much in each year, we will have to wait and see.
Okay, and I guess just changing tack a little bit in terms of US, Dave, maybe if you could give us a few comments on what you're seeing in terms of clinical behaviour. I mean, is it more urologists using the test, or is it a similar number of urologists using it in more patient sets? Can you kind of give us, I mean, a little bit of colour on how that sort of market behaviour is changing or has changed?
Sure. Thanks, Chelsea. As we kind of outlined in the presentation, we've ramped up our focus on institutional accounts. However, we're still seeing a growing number of new urologists coming to the table and using our tests. It's quite a gulf between closing out on a user program and starting up in commercial sales for an organization. They often have to look at how they're going to integrate it into their workflows, how they're going to pay for it, where all those sort of features take a little bit of time. And so you often see user programs drop off, and then there's the slow ramp. So while that's been going on, your sales representatives bringing in new urologists to the table who are entering and undertaking their user programs. So great to see. We're seeing phenomenal pickup from the European Urology paper, Euro Today newspaper that reaches all of the urologists in the US. We're seeing blogs coming out from the LUGPA organization, which reaches out to 2,400 urologists. And all of that will generate, we expect that to generate a significant number of new urologists will enter the window this coming year. I hope that helps with the colour on those urologists for you.
Okay, and I mean, just last question in terms of quarterly trends, and it does look like the third quarter was particularly weak in terms of test throughput, and obviously you've called out a very strong fourth quarter. Can you give us a bit of colour as to what sort of driven that?
Sure. We have had a kind of a reassignment of our sales resource in the United States, which has a flow-on hiccup. But in the fourth quarter, we've seen a nice ramp from our New Zealand institutional accounts, these public healthcare providers, district health boards, as we know them in New Zealand. And so that's we expect it to flow through into FY20. So that's the picture that we see coming through. We see strong growth expected to pick up in some of these institutional accounts as we transition them from their initial evaluations and across into commercial.
Thanks. I'll leave it there for now.
And again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad, star one. Next, we'll go to Graham West, a private investor. Your line is open.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody, and good morning, David. Just a couple of questions. How long can you keep operating for, given your current forecast for the next financial year, without having to do any further capital raising?
As at 31 March 2019, we had $12.9 million in the bank, Graham. That's enough money for a 12-month window. And any time in that 12-month window, you know, we could see one or more of these key customers that we've been focusing on, such as the CMS for the local coverage determination, and or Kaiser, and or, you know, the Johns Hopkins come to the table, which will, particularly if it's a CMS, can add a significant amount of backlogged revenue to the company, and would see a dramatic lift in the monthly cash coming into the company. So we'll just have to see how that all pans out.
Okay, thank you. And did I hear correctly when you mentioned a small pullback in North America with regard to your sales force?
Yes, we, from time to time you get attrition, one or two people leave the sales force, so we took the opportunity to just not replace those people immediately and focus across onto our institutional accounts, and that has a slowing down of your growth. So whilst we conserve cash as we pull our business forward, it was a balance between getting growth in the business and retaining that cash while we wait for this CMS local coverage determination to clear and unblock some of the cash flow for us. I hope that helps you.
But you would expect to build that up again. I mean, given that's obviously the market with the biggest potential.
Yes, absolutely. That's correct. It's relatively quick to pull those people back online and get them up to scale.
All right. Thank you very much.
And again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. Next, we'll go to Greg Main from FNZC. Your line is open.
Good morning, David. Just a couple of questions from me. Just so can you remind me whether the John Hopkins tests or the evaluations that they're doing, is that included in your laboratory throughput?
Yes, Greg, thanks. Good question. They are included in our lab throughput, and they are paid for tests, so they drop to cash. So they'll be on normal monthly payment terms, or 60 days actually, 60 days payment terms.
Right. You can't give us any idea how many that was roughly?
Yeah, just a small. It's an increasing number, but a relatively small number of tests. We don't. We haven't made those numbers available.
Right. Okay. And then, just is there anything happening with the VA at the moment? Can you? Is there any sort of tests being
sold? Sure, we can
answer that.
Yeah, sure, Greg. Thanks. Good question. Yes, we're selling a few tests into the VA. We have a couple of sites that are progressing with the commercial relationship. And we see the VA sites as being very similar to the public health care providers in New Zealand. So we identify the needs that they have, and they do have a need for some user programs. We've set in place three sites for user programs. We've yet to kick those off. They should kick off fairly soon. And that will provide some internal evidence for those guys to help them with their case to get, scale momentum going. So very, very similar profile to what we saw with the New Zealand District Health Boards. So work in progress and some commercial sales.
Right. And then, so just to clarify on that, around that cash burn sort of rate, obviously, you know, if you've dropped a couple of salespeople in the US, you've talked about, you know, you're obviously trying to grow Australia. You're doing tests in Singapore. I mean, do you think that you can drop your operating cash burn and I guess, you know, depending on how much you spend on your R&D as well, down to around that, you know, where you, as much as the $13 million cash you have, or do you think you'd still be a bit higher than the cash burn level?
Thanks, Greg. Yeah, that's what we're focused on doing. You know, it's a balancing act between getting the growth into those markets and, you know, how much do you pull back off the go forward on your commercial accelerator to conserve cash when, you know, a small forward step can actually mean quite a significant windfall for cash. So it's a balancing act. So we'll work hard on that.
And do you expect to receive the same sort of grant income in the next year?
Grant income has come back a little bit as we've kind of worked through some of the projects we were on. We've pulled back on some of our R&D investment while we conserve cash as well. It's not core R&D, but that all affects the grant recovery for the amount of money we invest into R&D. So in the coming 12 months, we will see a kind of a change around the Callaghan grant, growth grant that we receive is being replaced by a new grant from the new Labor government, which will probably mean a little bit less cash. But our research grant from Australia is very strong, and we're continuing to grow that. So that's all good news.
So. Okay. Thank you. Good luck.
Thanks, Greg. We have a call here, an online call, a question. So is the off-balance sheet collectible on CMS tests not yet billed around 20 million New Zealand dollars, i.e. 17,000 tests times 760 US dollars? It's nice to see the maths. Yes, I mean, without putting a specific price on that, this will be a negotiation that we will be having with the CMS when we receive our local coverage determination. And that is a significant amount of money that is owed to the company. So we'll see how that negotiation turns out. It may be at a higher price than 760, or it may be at 760. There are a number of key elements to that negotiation. Let's hope for a great outcome. Are there any more online questions?
And again, if you have a question on the phone, please press star 1 at this time. We have no one in the queue at this time.
All right, thanks, Christine. I think that will be a wrap on the presentation today. Thank you all very much for your time.
That concludes our call for today. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.